A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot, don't you? Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
We're joined by Ryan Farmer-Jones, editor emeritus of Slam magazine. Good evening. Things are bad in America. So bad you're gone full Everton tonight.
No, come on. It's one of the few things we've got going on. We're going to catch you a lot, Nathan. We're going to get them.
What's catching? A top six finish for Everton? Would that be success?
Listen, I thought we were going to try and keep this cordial and talk about America. let's focus on the right conflict.
All right, we will. So, well, this time 24 hours ago, we were all in front of the television around the world wondering what the hell was going to happen next. So DC police have arrested 68 after the storming of the US Capitol last night, though 47 of those arrests were related to violations of the curfew, 26 of those involving people arrested on US Capitol grounds. Confirmation that 4 people died in the chaos at the Capitol last night, including one woman who was shot by a Capitol police officer. And we've been discussing this on the show all evening, Ryan, as to just how surreal it all was. And even from watching it back here in Ireland, at first there's a real sense of fear and dread about what is going to happen in the Capitol buildings and what's it going to lead to over the coming days and weeks. And then quite quickly it almost turns to bemusement, because it just became quite farcical, where you have these Trump-supporting lunatics, or however far you want to go in terms of the words you want to use for those people. They're just wandering around the Capitol buildings at will. They're sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office taking selfies. It all just became a little bit surreal, and you had to remind yourself, and you had to look at a headline on CNN, that this was an insurrection.
Yeah. In a way, it's felt very appropriate for how the last 4.5 years have been here, right? There's been a lot of sense of this is too ridiculous to be happening, and yet it keeps happening. Throughout Trump's campaign and certainly his presidency, and you've sort of had these moments of really awful things happening, sort of mixed in then with these little moments of, like, you sort of have to laugh because it's all sort of ridiculous and absurd. Yesterday, obviously, kind of like you said, it was a bit of both. It was absurd and strange, and you sort of had to laugh and make jokes about it to sort of stay sane. But also, obviously, it was scary, and it was unsettling, as far as what does this mean for what's supposed to be an advanced democracy. And just very, very strange on every level. The fact that it happened as easily as it seemed to, that those people were able to get in as easily as they seemed to have, and have the run of the place, and that you had elected officials, trying to do the business of democracy, ensure a peaceful transition of power. That's sort of the whole point of the system of government, right? And having that put at risk and not knowing, how bad it might get in the moment. Yeah, it's been insane.
Yeah, and we didn't know how bad it might get. And there was a lot of talk at the time of, we have to remind ourselves that this is a coup that is taking place. But it's not a coup in the way we would have expected, or it certainly didn't look like a coup from the people that were in there. How would you describe those people that managed to break in? Because I've heard everything from, you know, they're just nut jobs to they're Nazis. Where are they? Who are they?
I mean, I think it's a big tent, let's say, as far as the MAGA crowd goes. You know, I think like probably any white American, you know, I have family members who voted for Trump, and have different reasons for having done so. Some are very much the sort of law and order, Blue Lives Matter types who saw the stuff last summer with Black Lives Matter and thought, oh God, the Democrats support this and it's unrest everywhere and a Republican has to come in and deal with this. And they're the only ones who respect cops. You know, they believe that. And then there are those who are, you know, from a religious perspective, usually, you know, where abortion is a primary motivating factor for how they vote. And then there are, you know, racism among white Americans is, you know, pretty much a systemic reality that you sort of have to grow out of almost. I think for most white Americans, you don't even realize you have sort of been indoctrinated as a white supremacist in this country by the nature of being white and living in the system. And you've got to sort of, you know, crawl your way out of it and do your reading and, you know, make an effort not to be a participant in that system. So I think there's a lot of different reasons why those people were there. Certainly the people who actually traveled to D.C. for that protest speech, whatever, in the first place, and then those in particular who went inside the Capitol. You know, a lot of those people, I think pretty clearly, including the woman apparently who was killed, you know, have gotten caught up in a lot of these conspiracy theories through QAnon and some of this, a lot of the, you know, just the sort of right wing online, you know, echo chamber of craziness and conspiracy theories. So I think the worst of them are probably pretty in tune to that. But at the very least, they're getting their news from a very limited number of or sort of collection of outlets, and they're mostly being lied to and misled and manipulated, and that's been the case for a long time, but it's been much more obvious and dangerous more recently. So yeah, I don't know that they were all crazy. I don't know that they were all evil. I it's not a word I would use, but certainly they're motivated by you know, a lot of unhinged, if not outright you know, untrue ideas and sets of facts that aren't factual. So that was kind of rambling, but yeah, that's my impression, is that there's a lot of different reasons why those folks would have done that and why they were in that position in the first place.
You mentioned some of your family vote for Trump. Can I just ask you about that and how you deal with that as a family? Because I've spoken to people in American, friends in America, whose parents vote for Trump, yet they are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, and that, like, they've been falling out, and it's become such a disparate conversation. And while America for so long, you looked at it and thought, like, there was such an involvement, a great involvement in politics, and it's just gone so horribly wrong over the last decade or so. Is it something that you're able to accept and move on from, or is it something that, because of all this, has become quite difficult for families?
It is difficult. I mean, it's been difficult for my family, for my father's side of my family. And I know, you know, my wife's side of her family. I mean, yeah, there's definitely been challenges there as far as, you know, how do you communicate this stuff? And you know, someone like me who reads a lot and tries to stay pretty in tune about what's going on. And I feel strongly about these issues, whether it's, you know, being the wealthiest nation in the world, not being able to provide healthcare for our citizens, or, you know, again, systemic inequality that goes back to before we were even a country in this country. You know, among other things. And so trying to bring those things up. But like my dad and I, for example, we've been able to have political discussions for years. He's pretty conservative and has been for most of my life. And we've been able to have conversations that would occasionally get heated, but we sort of let it go at the end. And, you know, we move on, you know, and we sort of just accept that we have different views. But I've really struggled with that over the past couple of years, and this year in particular. And so we've had some tense conversations, and siblings and other people in the family have gotten involved. And, you know, again, lately, it's been over text message or email, which is not helpful. And yeah, it's been difficult. It's been difficult. I'm not, you know, estranged from any of my family right now, but there are family members who I have a hard time talking with. And I know people who have family members they feel like they just can't, you know, they can't talk to anymore, or certainly not for the time being. And it's difficult to change people's minds. And again, particularly when people are sort of in these echo chambers of, you know, Facebook information and Fox or some of these other sort of upstart networks. That are very invested in a narrative that's not true, and is often racist and white supremacist, and you know, authoritarian and all those things. So, yeah, it's been hard on a personal level for me and many, 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 many other Americans. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It's a desperately sad situation for so many families who have been broken apart by this. We did want to talk to you about how sport in America has been reacting, and a lot of eyes were on the NBA, and the Celtics were down in Miami to take on the Heat, and whether, again, maybe the players would decide actually they were going to sit this one out. And it's also coming in the wake of the decision in Kenosha where the prosecutors decided not to file criminal charges against the police officers involved in the shooting back in August of Jacob Blake. People might remember Blake was shot 7 times by police officer Rustin Chesky and was left paralyzed, and they've decided not to prosecute Chesky. What has been the reaction? What was the reaction, firstly, from that match between the Celtics and the Heat?
I mean, they released a statement before the game, and I think there was a lot of question of, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to not play? Are they going to protest? You know, they took the knee, the teams did, all except for one white player on the Heat, Myers Leonard. But yeah, they, you know, I think there was a lot of back and forth on that in a sense of what would be the best way to handle it. But I think it did get so overshadowed so quickly. You know, it was just an all-consuming news day yesterday, obviously, I think around the world, right? I mean, we're talking about it. And I think that, you know, the Jacob Blake thing, unfortunately, was just so overshadowed by what was happening in Washington. And for so many of the NBA players, obviously the majority of whom are black, black men who've had to deal with these things in their own lives, and who, you know, going back to last summer and even years before, many of them have taken really strong stances and spoken out on this, and in some cases, you know, taken more action than just speaking out, you know, whether it was donating money or foundations, you know, whatever. You know, I think it just kind of did get lost for the most part yesterday in the bigger news here. And so I think most people, other than sort of really diehard NBA followers, probably missed it. But yeah, you know, the idea of, do any sports need to go on when this is happening? And, you know, what's the benefit of stopping the sports? They're already playing through a pandemic right now. You know, should you, shouldn't you? All these questions, you know, sort of seem so, you know, crazy to even ponder right now. But yeah, I think, you know, sports, again, going due to the pandemic and then particularly the NBA and, you know, due to the Black Lives Matter stuff going back from last summer, you know, sports have just been played under such a weird, you know, in such a weird atmosphere for the past 10 months now anyway. And then sort of have this stuff going on now. It's just you sort of have to compartmentalize, I think. And, I think all of us do that in our lives. And, you know, bad things are going on in the world, but you can still care about your teams. But, you know, whether it's for a distraction or just, you know, sort of however you justify it. I think most people now who have an investment in sport, you know, yeah, you sort of are able to say, oh, God, you know, what the hell's happening today? But, well, at least my team's playing tonight. So whatever comfort or distraction that might provide you.
Yeah, there's still almost 2 weeks of Trump to go. I'm wary of saying what's the worst that can happen, but is this a tinderbox that Trump is just waiting to ignite again, or was January the 6th the date they had built towards and it might just peter out, or is that very wishful thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to predict. I wouldn't try. I wouldn't dare. But, you know, my impression, if there's a silver lining in this, you know, yesterday, and is that I think he's more isolated than ever, seemingly, based on everything I'm reading, that, you know, apparently he and Pence sound fairly estranged because he's tried to throw Pence under the bus for not doing more, which he couldn't have done legally anyway, to try to salvage the election for him. And then, you know, the fact that yesterday, apparently Pence and there were others in the White House who were dealing with the National Guard and not Trump. So the president was not the one involved in those discussions. You know, a number of cabinet members apparently resigning now. A number of Republican officials, you know, a few current, mostly former, acknowledging, hey, this is on Trump. He incited this violence. He incited this. This is on him, and we need to get rid of him. The Democrats apparently maybe pushing toward impeachment, although not as probably aggressively as a lot of us would like. So I don't know. Again, if I'm encouraged by anything, it's that further isolation hopefully makes it harder for him to sort of have anywhere to hide and to, you know, to not have to leave, and, you know, whether that's in shackles or on his own volition, you know, as soon as possible. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's been such an unpredictable 4 or 5 years, or I don't want to start making guesses now. So I'm trying to be optimistic and hope that however it ends here in the next 2 weeks, it does end.
Everton for the FA Cup can be your prediction for the future. Listen, we'd all like to see Seamus Coleman lifting a trophy.
Thank you. Can we at least agree on Seamus Coleman?
Exactly.
You very much.
Exactly. Great to talk to you as always. Ryan Farmer-Jones, mind yourself.
Cheers. Thanks, man.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.